Another important aspect about medical underwriting is the lifestyle and the habits. A life underwriter has to examine the reports pertaining to all the systems of the body belonging to the proposer in a detailed manner, taking into account the self-declaration made by the applicant as well as the medical reports. So in addition to medical reports, whatever information that is provided by the prospect becomes very important for deciding on what lifestyle or what habits are there for the prospect. This will help the insurer to understand the lifestyle and habits of the prospective insured. Insurer fully depends upon the expertise of life underwriters to come to a reasonable assessment of risk, and such life underwriters have to base their decision making on the basis of information provided by the medical examiner as well as the declarations made by the prospects. Medical underwriting strictly discourages moral hazards. Medical underwriting is an important process for an insurer as it discourages moral hazard and people's tendency to buy health insurance only when they are sick or require medical care. Medical underwriting brings out the facts about the health, and this not only discourages such moral hazard, but it also maintains a discipline with the policy issuance. Underwriting process gives a powerful message to the prospect to insure at a younger age, because as your age increases, there can be more diseases that may come into the life of the such insured people, and more the disease, more the age, higher the premium. And that's a very powerful message provided by insurance company to get insured at a younger age rather than an older age, as underwriting can be expensive at a later stage of life. There are certain precautions that need to be taken by the applicant, like complete the underwriting checklist with your agent. And when you do this preliminary process, you automatically come to know what type of risk you are actually posing to the insurance company. With a better idea of who you are, the underwriter is able to complete the evaluation sooner with less additional evidence. And in fact, we call the agent as the primary underwriter, because he is the representative of the insurance company who actually takes the information from you, and you are actually putting that information on the proposal, and he, on the basis of information provided by you, will be able to tell on the spot whether your underwriting process will go through with issuance of policy or not. However, the final decision is taken by the insurance company. After going through financial underwriting, now let us understand what is moratorium underwriting. Moratorium underwriting is one of the methods of underwriting. With this method, there is no need to provide the insurer with any health information. You accept that any medical condition for which you have sought medical advice for at least 5 years would be excluded from the policy. So whatever has happened to you in the previous 5 years, or you have sought medical advice for the last 5 years, would be excluded from such policy, and such type of policy is called as moratorium underwriting. We have another type of underwriting which we call it as with full medical underwriting. With full medical underwriting, you would complete a health questionnaire as part of an application process. The insurer would then review that information and decide if they need to place any exclusion on the plan. So with full underwriting, you would have a complete health questionnaire as part of the application process. This gives you a 360 degree view about you, and that is a basis on which the insurer would review, and basis on that he will decide whether to place any exclusion on your insurance policy or not. There are different advantages of qualified medical underwriting for the policyholder, because it involves a fair underwriting process. Insurer just doesn't tell a price on the policy, but that price what is quoted to the policyholder in the form of premium is on the basis of a scientific underwriting process. It provides full protection, the prompter payment in the event of claims happens. Whenever the claim is raised by the policyholder, it reduces the point of claims underwriting to non-disclosure cases. So these are the different advantages of qualified medical underwriting for the policyholder. Likewise, there are advantages for the insurer also. Advantages of qualified medical underwriting for the insurer can be, it provides him better evaluation of risk. And when we talk about better evaluation of risk, he understands how many claims he is supposed to actually meet or settle, and basis on which he will not be left out with funds. He will have adequate funds to meet, because he will be charging a perfect premium from the policyholders to create a corpus to meet the claims for a particular risk pool. Decision making based on valid information and reports. It's not just on the basis of judgment, but he can rely on technology. He can rely on special methods to come out with a proper decision whether to accept or not to accept a risk. Insurance pricing is based on risk acceptance. So higher the risk, higher the premium, lower the risk, lower the premium. And if at all he feels that a particular risk need not be accepted by him, you can straight away decline the risk. Quality risk pooling and higher efficiency in operation is the one of the main advantage of qualified medical underwriting for the insurer. Now, we have seen most of the parameters of underwriting. These are applicable to individuals. Likewise, we can also apply underwriting process to group when we issue group insurance. In a group insurance policy, the insurance company issues only one master policy covering all the members of the group, and all the members of the group can raise claims based on this only master policy. But how is this master policy issued? That is what we should understand. Group insurance is a contract covering a number of lives for a reasonable homogeneous group. When we talk about homogeneous group, it will be a similar type of employees having similar type of risk. Each group participant gives his personal information to the insured based on the group parameters. So based on that, even though it may involve different age categories, different designations, the entire information is first captured, and based on that, a group is prepared which would amount to be a common risk pool, and based on that, it would be easy for the insurance company to decide on the risk premium. In a group insurance scheme, the main factors that are covered are: uniform cover is granted depending upon the various factors that are relevant to the group. For example, the size of the group, the type of the group, whether it is voluntary or compulsory, the geographic distribution of employees, the industry type, the sex distribution, the age distribution. So these are the different parameters on which the group insurance is decided. Number of dependents, including age and sex distribution, number of dependent children, salaries of insured group, policyholders, administrative facilities, mortality rate. So uniform cover is granted based on various factors, and these factors can also be useful for deciding the group insurance. Now let us understand how is a group business underwritten, because group insurance can be in different organizations, in different industry, but how it is underwritten, that is an interesting fact to know. Group business is underwritten according to the structure and needs of the insured group. The groups can be categorized as managerial, supervisor, clerical, etc. And based on that, the homogeneity will be established according to the different benefits and premiums collections can be planned. So each homogeneous group will have a specific premium payment, and based on that, the claims would also be raised. Normally, such type of underwriting is done for a year. Since the group is generally dynamic, in which old members may go out and new members may come in, periodically on yearly renewal, the employer can add or delete the names of the employees for underwriting, and that is how the homogeneity is also maintained, and it takes care of those leaving the organization as well as those new joining who enter into the organization. This gives the insurer an opportunity to revise the premium on the basis of the composition of the group as well as the claim experience of the earlier year. So insurance company also benefits from such process, because with retirement, older people move out, so risk level is reduced. At the same time, whatever claims that are raised, that helps the insurance company to decide what should be the premium for the on the next renewal. Now, as I said, underwriting process has evolved over a period of time, and this evolution has been refining the underwriting process, especially with the IT systems. Information technology has been very useful in the insurance industry to design the effective techniques and strategies for growth of insurance business. Underwriting makes use of the information technology systems which helps them to create the rules-based methodologies and the predictive models to align risk selection and pricing with organization acceptance level of the risk. So this has become very scientific. A flawless underwriting process has been facilitated by the information technology systems. Information technology systems also helps the insurance company to optimize the contractual terms and conditions and design better insurance products and risk management programs. So with clear understanding about the risk, with clear understanding about the evaluation of risk, with clear understanding as to what should be the premium, the contractual terms can also be designed based on this scientific information technology enabled underwriting process. Information technology system based underwriting provides real-time insights into insurance product development and builds stronger operation teams by benefiting from timely and granular data and indicators of performance. So this is the specialty of IFT systems. They actually can mine the granular data to bring out the meaning out of it, to understand the levels of risk based on which it can actually predict what should be the premium for that particular type of risk. And based on that, real-time product development can happen rather than waiting for months and years together as it was done previously. So having understood the different types of underwriting, the financial underwriting, the non-financial underwriting, the medical underwriting, the non-medical underwriting, the moratorium underwriting, we have got a fair idea of what exactly underwriting is. We also saw how underwriting can be done for a group, especially when a group insurance policy is issued. Now let us understand more details about the premium, as to what exactly is the premium, how it is collected from the policyholder, etc., etc. The first and the most important aspect of the premium is the price the policyholder pays to the insurance company. And this is very important from an insurance company point of view, because based on this, the insurance company pays out the claims. Insured promises to pay a price in the form of premium to the insurer, and in turn, the insurer promises to protect the insured from any loss by settling his claim. And that is why this is a two-way process. Very important, both ways it has to go. Otherwise, the insurance company would not be flush with funds. On the other side, the insured won't get its claim settled from the insurance company if he doesn't pay the premium. Since the risk is transferred from the insured to the insurer, the insured has to pay a price in the form of premium, which represents a valid consideration of an insurance contract. An insurance policy without premium is invalid. Since there are very important aspects in this premium process, once the premium is paid, the risk is transferred from the insured to the insurer. The insured pays a premium in the form of premium, and this represents a valid consideration of a contract, and hence, since insurance is also a legal contract, an insurance policy becomes valid contract only with payment of premium. An insurance policy without premium is invalid. The actuaries also help the insurer to determine the premium based on the mortality and the sickness tables. Now, what is the premium used for by the insurance company? The premiums that are collected by the insurance companies for traditional plans are invested as mandated in the Insurance Act 1938. The premium not only takes care of expenses in setting the claims, but it also covers the running administrative expenses of the insurer. So premium is very important for the insurance company, not only for the payment claim, but it is also invested as mandated by Insurance Act, and this is where it also earns some revenue out of investment. And both this premium as well as the revenue that is collected is used for meeting the claims as well as for running the administrative expenses of the insurer. Now there are different ways in which this premium can be paid, and hence we can classify the premiums into different types, like single premium, level premium, flexible premium. Let us understand what are these different types of premium. The first type is single premium. The policyholder pays a single lump sum amount, which we call it as single premium. So he has a lump sum amount, he doesn't want to get himself bothered by paying premium at different periodical terms. So he pays a lump sum amount, and this lump sum amount is applicable for the entire life, entire term of the policy. And this is paid at the inception itself. The level premium The policyholder pays the same premium, and this premium is designed in such a way that it averages out the higher risk at the old age and the lower risk at the younger age. The flexible premium plan, the policyholder can pay the premium amount as per the convenience. As his income increases, he can increase the amount of premium generally by 5% annually, and the exact terms will depend upon what the insurance company has agreed with the policyholder. Now, just like there are different types of premiums, there are different modes of payment of premium. Premium can be paid by cash, check, demand draft, or by any innovative electronic channels like the ECS, ATM transfers, etc. The mode of premium payment is indicated in the insurance policy. Insurer normally serves a notice to the insured to pay the premium on or before the due date, and the policyholder has to make the payment. No doubt, the insurance company also provides a grace period over and above the renewal period or the first premium payment, on the renewal period, not the first premium payment. So whenever the insurance premium is due, the payment has to be done within that period or definitely within the grace period. The grace period is generally 15 days for monthly premium payment or 30 days for other periods of premium payment. So come what may, the premium has to be paid, otherwise your policy would be termed as irregular and it may face the danger of lapses if you don't pay the premium timely or within the grace period. Non-payment of premium may result into forfeiture of policy. As per the terms and conditions of the policy, the premium paid till forfeiture also goes to the insurer, and the insured cannot have any claim against the insurer. So this is the main responsibility of the policyholder, to see that he pays the premium timely and keep the policy alive. Only then his claims would be settled by the insurance company. Now finally, we come to a very important aspect of this chapter, that is called a bonus. Because as we say, the policyholder has to make the payments timely, and there is a reward for discipline of the policyholders. Policyholders are entitled to receive bonus from insurance company if they have purchased a participating insurance policy with profit. This bonus is a very specific feature only on the participating insurance policy with profit. What do we mean by profit? Whenever the insurance company derives some profit out of its business, out of the claims that it would not have been required to pay, the profits, the revenues that are created out of the investments. So if the policyholder have taken a profit policy, then he is entitled to bonus. There can be four types of bonus that can be received by policyholders. The first type is simple revisionary, second type is compound revisionary, third type is terminal bonus, and the fourth type is interim bonus. Let's see what does this mean. In a simple revisionary bonus, it is paid by the insurer at the time of claim or at the maturity of the policy. So this is a sort of reward given to the policyholder for taking such type of policy. The second type of bonus is compound revisionary bonus. In compound revisionary bonus, a certain sum is added to the sum assured, which becomes the enhanced amount for the next year. So this keeps on growing till the policy is live. In case of a terminal bonus, the insurer pays an incentive to the insured for continuing the policy for a longer period until the end of the policy. And in case of an interim bonus, it is paid to policyholder who have left before the final value. So interim bonus is for those who have left before, and terminal bonus, in insurer pays an incentive to the insured for continuing the policy for a longer period. So this difference has to be noted clearly, and this makes out the four types of bonuses that can be paid by the policy, by the insurance company to the policyholder in case of participating profit policies. Thank you.